Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories, new opportunities in marketing and public relations, why golf courses are a new target for the tax man, and a trend for small business money managers to watch. We'll start with this. Is your business involved in marketing and PR? Check out this trend, which may lead to new clients. College athletics programs are going to another level and trying to get the slightest advantage over a rival. Here's correspondent Jennifer Koshenka.
There's new ammunition in the arms race in college football. Flashy graphics. Programs large and small are spending millions to attract recruits and donors with colorful displays in their facilities. Rachel Axon of USA Today, who spent some time investigating this new trend, is here with more. Rachel, first of all, who's doing this?
Well, the short answer is not almost everybody, but many people. It's not just the top-tier programs. You know, our story includes everywhere from Auburn, you know, a premier SEC football school, to, you know, Western Michigan spending quite a bit of money on this to promote their new football coach. So, you know, you're seeing it more at the top in the Power Five conferences, but definitely not exclusively.
What kind of graphics are we talking about here? What do they look like?
Yeah, so this is a hard thing to get, that we want to make clear. This isn't, you know, like banners that you see hanging in the rafters of an arena or a basketball gym or something like that. These are highly designed, you know, kind of often life-size, covering whole walls, displays where, you know, they're highlighting former players, a coaching philosophy, success of the program. It's less a poster on a wall than a graphic on the entire wall.
Rachel, are these just for stadiums?
No, actually, that's one of the things that's really interesting about this. You know, certainly stadiums are done, and we kind of tried to make a distinction between public-facing spaces, you know, something that a fan would go and interact with, or, you know, your average student on campus. And increasingly more and more, this is happening in sort of the team-exclusive spaces. So indoor practice facilities are a great example of that. Those are only utilized by, you know, traditionally football teams and that coaching staff. So Auburn, for example, has spent more than $800,000 to put graphics in a building that, you know, about 150 people on campus typically use. So that raises a lot of questions about, you know, what is the benefit of doing this?
You mentioned in your story that it also can be used to attract donors. How so?
Yeah, one of the things that was interesting that we couldn't get into as much with the spaces, you know, everything that traditionally an athlete would see, a donor will probably see. You know, if you donate enough money to a school, you've been in their practice facility, you've been in their locker room, you know what's there. And they want to see, you know, this kind of first-class look is what, you know, a lot of ADs said, where the program looks well, and also that the tradition and the history and the success is, you know, is highlighted through those graphics.
Are there companies that are specializing in college branding?
Yeah, there were three. I mean, there's many, but there were three that we focused on. Advent, which is based in Nashville, 49 Degrees, which is based in Ohio, and Rainier Sports, which is based in Washington. And they really, part of the story is they made this their business. You know, these are companies that traditionally would have done, you know, indoor signage for corporate environments or retail environments or things like that. And starting about 7-8 years ago, they kind of pivoted to this is primarily the work that they do.
Rachel Axon at USA Today with correspondent Jennifer Koshenka on the potential small business marketing opportunities in college athletics. Coming up next, what certain property owners need to be aware of.
You're a small to mid-sized business with 300 to 3,000 employees. You face the same network security challenges as big businesses do, but can't support a big IT investment, leaving your doors open to advanced cyber threats. Barracuda Next Generation Firewalls provide all the core features of enterprise firewalls and UTMs, but without hidden costs and deployment hurdles, making owning a big business firewall no big deal for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Next Gen Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
The IRS is taking a good hard look at a number of golf courses these days, trying to figure out which ones are taking advantage of an environmental incentive that lets them deduct millions in tax breaks for, quote, conservation. More from Wall Street Journal tax writer Richard Rubin, who found one expert who says some clubs claim every inch, the greens, the fairways, the tees, the boxes, and the trails, even if they're paved. Rich, how do they do that?
They have a couple of different ways they can justify it. They can try and say it's a natural habitat. They can say that it preserves open space and under certain circumstances. And they've succeeded in the past. So there was a case out of Alabama a few years ago where the IRS basically said, yeah, that counts as a natural habitat because it doesn't allow construction to happen. And the main habitat that's provided is a stopping point for migratory birds. And so, yeah, it actually qualifies. And what happened in this case that I wrote about in the story is the tax court carving that back a bit and looking at a North Carolina golf course or two and saying that there just wasn't enough important habitat there.
Wow. All right. So are all golf courses trying to pull this off in some way, shape, or form, or not all of them?
We don't know. I would venture to say it's probably hard to imagine all of them doing this, but there's certainly some. I found that Alabama one, the North Carolina ones in this case, there's one out of Missouri and one out of Georgia that have cases that are still pending in tax court. There may be others out there that you never hear about because audits themselves aren't necessarily public. So this has happened. It's happened enough that the Obama administration asked Congress to ban the practice, to basically say, if it's a golf course, you shouldn't be able to get this break, and that didn't go anywhere.
All right, so you point out a couple of, I guess I'd consider them funny examples of people really sort of stretching the idea of the conservation easement tax break. What'd you find on that front?
Well, it's hard to say they're funny. I pointed out a case in the story where the IRS won because a landowner wanted to say that building 30 houses instead of 62 in Virginia was open space preservation, and the IRS and the tax court said, no, that's not going to work. There's a big case that came out of New Orleans about preserving the facade of the Ritz-Carlton, which went back and forth and back and forth to the appeals court and back. These can get very, very technical very quickly because there's a set of general rules that apply, but then there's also really specific circumstances. So in that New Orleans case, it was about how expensive it would be to replace this historic facade. In this North Carolina case, it's about really that threshold question of how important a habitat this is, and that requires looking at how many Venus flytraps there are and how many alligators and how many bald eagles and competing expert analyses from both sides.
All right. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Richard Rubin. He's got a piece entitled IRS Tees Off on Golf Courses Green Tax Claims. How much money is actually at stake here?
In 2012, overall for conservation easements, taxpayers deducted about $1 billion. So, figure if people are in the top bracket, that's, $300-400 million in taxes. It's hard to know how much are for golf courses, but they tend to be some of the bigger ones. The average conservation easement in 2012 was less than $1 million. The ones at play in the North Carolina case were about $8 million in deductions. The Kansas City one's even bigger, and the Georgia one is about $10 million. So because these are big, valuable properties with a lot of acres, they tend to be really expensive tax deductions, and they tend to draw notice from the IRS.
Right. Is the IRS gaining momentum on this front?
I think this case, which was decided in the tax court last month, is definitely momentum for the IRS. Other cases the IRS has lost, and so there's a whole body of law that's been developing in the tax court and the appeals courts over the past decade as all of these cases. I mean, this one dates back to deductions that were taken in 2003 and 2005, and so as all these cases work their way through the audit and court system, there's this whole body of law that's being built up about exactly which T's you have to cross and I's you have to dot to be able to get your tax break.
Thanks, Rich. Wall Street Journal tax writer Richard Rubin. Finally, here's one for those of you in the money management business. Thousands of stockbrokers will turn free agent this year as their long-running retention deals expire. That's prompting the big brokerage firms to take steps to stymie their departures. WSJ.com's wealth advisor says recruiters indicate that brokers typically take 80% of their clients with them when they change firms. As brokerages brace for a wave of advisor departures, firms including Merrill Lynch and Morgan Stanley have changed their policies to declare some clients, quote, property of the firm, and therefore off limits when brokers depart. Reminder, by the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And we encourage you to leave feedback on whatever podcast platform you use, like iTunes or SoundCloud. Reviews can help me determine what works and what does not. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, shoot me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. That's gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.